May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 761. Show pity, Lord. O Lord, forgive. Let a repenting rebel live. Are not thy mercies large and free? May not a sinner trust in thee? Hymn 761.
Thank you. Together from God's holy word, Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down, and received him joyfully. When they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. And he said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom, and to return. And he called his 10 servants, and delivered them 10 pounds, and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him, and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him, to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. He said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over 5 cities. And another came, saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin, for I feared thee, because thou art an austere man. Thou takest up that thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, Out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And he said unto them that stood by, Take from him the pound, and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you, that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that hath not, even that he hath, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither, and slay them before me. When he had thus spoken, he went before, ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethpage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent 2 of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which, at your entering in, ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, Why do ye loose him? Thus shall ye say unto him, Because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way, and found even as he had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, the owners thereof said unto him, Why loose ye the colt? And they said, The Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. When he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you that, if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. And when he was come near, he beheld a city, and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace. But now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And he went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold therein and them that bought, saying unto them, It is written, my house is the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And he taught daily in the temple. But the chief priests and scribes and the chief of the people sought to destroy him and could not find what they might do. For all the people were very attentive to hear him. May God bless that reading of his holy word to us and help us in prayer. Most merciful, kind and gracious, almighty Lord God in heaven, we come before thee the morning service of another Lord's Day. Oh, we do thank thee, dear Lord, for this returning day of rest, this day set apart and sanctified by thee. Oh, we do pray, Lord, that it may be a true Sabbath to our souls, that we may by faith enter into that rest which is in thee, the Lord Jesus Christ, to rest from our strivings under the law, to see our every need met in thee, and to know that peace which comes in believing. We do pray, Lord, that thou grant thy Holy Spirit's influence on our worship this day, that thou would influence our hearts, that our hearts may be set on things above, that thou would come as our Lord and Saviour cleansed the temple at Jerusalem, drove out the buyers and the sellers. So, Lord, do come and cleanse our hearts from the thoughts of last week and next week, the buyers and the sellers, the busyness of our lives, those things, Lord, that are not of thee, but necessary for our daily lives. We pray that we may be able to leave them for a season, and that as we enter into thy house, we may be wholly taken up with thee. Oh, we would see Jesus. Oh, may that be the desire of each soul who gathers here this day. We would see Jesus. Oh, may Christ be revealed, and Christ be made precious. We may know that warming influence in our hearts, the love of Christ overflowing. We may see his beauties, his suitability to meet our every need. Oh, we pray for that faith to be given. Oh, and that desire in our hearts to look to thee for everything. Oh, how needful we are for that work of grace in the hearts of each one of us, to bring us to feel a need of thee. So, Lord, do work in each of our hearts. Cast out our sin and enter in and be born in us this day. May souls be quickened by thy Spirit, brought out of nature's darkness into thy marvellous light. And Lord, souls that feel the winter season, the coldness, the darkness, searching to see the signs of life, all seeming dead. Oh, we pray that the Son of Righteousness may arise with healing in his wings, as we see the springtime around us in this natural world. Oh, we pray that there may be a springtime in our hearts. Oh, that the buds may appear, the sound of the turtle in our land. And, oh, Lord, we pray all the glory to thy holy name. Oh, do stir us up. Breathe life into us. May there be living souls, enabling grace, enlivening grace. Oh, Lord, do quicken us. Quicken souls and make them cry.
Give me Christ, or else I die. Lord, we live in a dying, changing world. We thank thee, dear Heavenly Father, that thou art on the throne, the Lord God omnipotent, reigning, unchanging. Oh Lord, we do thank thee and pray that thou wilt remember us in our day. Look down in love and mercy upon us. Lord, we have a mighty enemy in Satan. And how can we stand the hour of temptation when we are but feeble flesh? And we have a heart, Lord, that's prone to wander. And Lord, Satan knows those sins, Lord, that we're susceptible to. Our weaknesses. Oh Lord, we plead for thy mercy, that thou wilt make that way of escape. That thou wilt build up that hedge around us. Oh, that thou wilt be that wall of fire round about. And the glory in the midst. And that we may not be led into temptation. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray. And hold us up, and hold us fast. Keep us near to thee. Oh, we pray, Lord, that we may not be left to wander off, to loiter in our way, to drift along in an unconcerned, lukewarm state. Oh, but may we each give diligence to make our calling and our election sure. Oh, Lord, we know not what a day nor an hour may bring forth, and how frail our lives are. Oh, Lord, we pray that we each may be made right and made ready. Oh, that that day may not take us unawares. We may know that preparation of thy Spirit. Be prepared to stand before thy face. Oh Lord, we do pray for that precious blood that did for sin atone to be sprinkled on our hearts, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, to blot out every stain. Oh Lord, may we know that robe of righteousness clothing us. Oh, that hope that we one day will stand before thee, clothed in his righteousness. Oh, to read my name upon his breast and see the Father smile. Lord, do have mercy upon us then, we pray. We thank thee for the multitude of thy mercies. Those brought safely back from their... Our friend brought safely back from his trip overseas. We do thank thee, Lord, for returning mercies, preserving mercies. Thank thee, Lord, for the brother deacon afflicted when we were here last. And Lord, now restored back amongst the people here. We thank thee, dear Lord, for that. Oh, we pray for any in difficulty, in affliction, in problems, in trials, in the hardness, the weariness of the way, the grasshopper becoming a burden, those in midlife bearing the heat and burden of the day. Oh Lord, we pray that, oh thy grace, we may hear that voice saying, but my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. Oh, may we prove those words. May we be able to write our TMP next to them, tried and proved. Oh, Lord, do lead us through thy word. May those precious promises in thy word be known and felt in our hearts as we wander through this wilderness. May we know the sanctifying of our pathways. May we be led and taught by thy Spirit. Oh, to have those sweet persuasions that we are amongst the adopted children of God. Oh Lord, we have many things to thank thee for. Now thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Lord, where would we be without thy mercy? The hymn writer says, without thy sweet mercy I could not live here. Sin soon would reduce me to utter despair. O Lord, we thank thee for that mercy that is found in thee. May we each be finders of it. Oh, may we be partakers of it. So, Lord, do bless us each. Bless us indeed this day. May there be those things done this day in thy holy name. Eternal things we pray. May thy word be sealed into our hearts. Have an abiding effect with us. And may it not be left on the chapel doorstep. O Lord, do pardon and forgive our many sins. Be with each in their varying concerns, from the youngest to the oldest. O Lord, do enable them to cast their cares upon thee. Those with exams and things at school and decisions to make, the future seemingly lying before them, choices to make. Do find suitable partners in life for our young people. May thy fear be put in their hearts, that they depart not from thy house all the days of their lives. O Lord, then do keep us. May that be the word written over our lives, kept by the power of God. Then do be with us, we pray, and pardon and forgive our many, many sins. Pardon all that we ask amiss. We plead for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 406. Hark, how the blood-bought hosts above conspire to praise redeeming love in sweet harmonious strains. And while they strike the golden lyres, this glorious theme each bosom fires, that grace triumphant reigns. Hymn 406.
Will you turn with me to the chapter we've read, the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19. With the Lord's help this morning, I'll speak to you from the 6th verse. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 19, the 6th verse. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. In the chapter before, we have the account of that rich young ruler who came to the Lord Jesus and asked him that question, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And there the Lord Jesus, knowing those secret things, where his affections lay, he was leaning on himself. All these things, he said, I have kept from my youth. The Lord said, yes, but one thing thou lackest. Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. There was an affection. His affections of his heart were elsewhere. And the young man, he went away disappointed. Well, in Mark's Gospel, we have it sweetly recorded that the Lord, beholding him, loved him. And though he went away disappointed and cast down, I have a sweet feeling in my heart that young man was numbered amongst the dear children of God. For how many of the Lord's dear people have come and, there's been that secret sin, maybe. The Lord's found them out, and the word, the preaching, the reading of the word of God has sent them from the house of God disappointed. There's an idol to be parted with, something to be given up, and it's a wrench. But by the grace of God, enabling grace, they've been able to leave it. They've been drawn away from it by the Spirit's leading and power of the power of God. But this is it. The Lord says this. For they question. They say, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? The Lord says, for it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Because such is our hearts, and such is the deceitfulness of riches. The trouble it brings, and how the seemingly impossible situation. And when they had heard it, they said, "Who then can be saved?" The Lord says this: the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. And the next chapter, there we have a needs must. The Lord must go through Jericho. The Lord entered and passed through Jericho. Why? To seek and to save that which was lost. A rich man, this thing that's impossible with God, to be made possible, impossible for men, to be made possible by God. A rich man, swallowed up with his riches, taken up with them. And here we have the power of God clearly displayed. Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and there was a certain man named Zacchaeus, with his name in the book of life. The Lord Jesus, leaving heaven to come to this sinful earth, for him and for countless numbers of others like him. His name known to the Lord Jesus, knew exactly who he was, where he was in his little life, his state and condition by nature, the affections of his heart. Oh, he was a chief among the publicans and he was rich. This beautiful word, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. You know, this may begin with curiosity. He'd heard of the Lord Jesus. His fame had gone forth throughout the country. And he came, he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Well, maybe it did begin with curiosity, but this is beginning the beginnings of the work of the Holy Spirit, is it not? Well, a testimony of the fact that it is the work of the Holy Spirit is what then follows. The work was deepened. It became more than curiosity. We have that solemn account, don't we, of the Lord Jesus before Herod. In a few chapters later in this gospel. And we have this: and when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceeding glad, for he was desirous to see him for a long season, because he had heard many things of him, and he hoped to have seen some miracle done by him. That's not the same curiosity as the work of grace in the heart of a sinner. You see, his curiosity ended. It didn't deepen. The Holy Spirit, it was not the work of the Holy Spirit. It was a curiosity of man. Wanted to see a miracle done. What a solemn point. Yeah, as we examine our reasons, our motives for coming to the house of the Lord today, be a wonderful thing if you have come up to the house of the Lord this day with a desire in your heart to see Jesus. So we would see Jesus. Oh, more than just curiosity. Oh, that my eyes may behold him, that I may look upon him, that I may be led by the Spirit to Calvary. Oh, to look upon him whom we have pierced. Oh, but Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. There was a great crowd around the Lord Jesus. As he was walking, he couldn't get near. He's a small man. Couldn't see over them. His vision was obstructed by them. Couldn't get near to him. Couldn't force his way through. Oh, but his curiosity is such. His heart is attracted. His heart's attracted. He desires to see this man. And such is the strength of that desire. Oh, he takes this next step. He sees the way the Lord is walking, sees the direction he's heading, and he runs on ahead, and he climbs a tree, and he waits for him to pass by that way. You see, the Lord constrains his people. There's a drawing influence. That there's a drawing power. That the cross of Christ, the preaching of it, there's a drawing effect. It draws sinners out after him. And that there's an increase in that attraction.
and the increase and a desire in the heart. Now, I feel I must stop for a moment, because in my preaching thus far, I feel I've been a little guilty in falling into that trap of tracking down an experience, the Lord's people, and saying, well, it begins with this, and it moves on to this, and it ends with this. Well, in the overall view of it, it does. Begins with a conviction of sin. But we have many in our congregations who have been brought up under the sound of the truth. And I was only talking the other day with my wife, and she said when she came before the church, there was a member in the church who was unable to be present. She went to see her after she gave a testimony. This person said to her, "When did you feel your sins?" And it troubled her, because having sat under the preaching of the gospel from the moment she was born, it was really here a little, there a little, line upon line, precept upon precept, that there was a gradual teaching over her in her growing up in her youth. The Holy Spirit must have been applying the word, because she was brought to that point of feeling in her heart she was a sinner. And you know, this is the important point. You see, if we track down the sinners cut down under the weight of their sins and the burden of them, and then the Holy Spirit leads them to the Lord Jesus, and the love of Christ floods in as they're brought to see him in all his suitability, and then they're delivered from their sins and raised to a sweet hope. What of those who can't really trace out that? Maybe they've not been like me and lived a sinful life. You know, I grew up in under the sound of the truth, but I lived a sinful life in my youth. And growing up, I followed many pleasures of sin, and with me the Lord did cut me down. It was like Paul, cut down, and it was a very quick and abrupt and immediate thing. But what are those who live their lives in a tender way, in under the fear of the Lord from their youth? And they can't trace out these things. Or the question with them is, oh, I don't think I feel my sins enough. This is their burden. What of those whom the Lord begins the work of grace with love? With love. They're taught gently by the Lord in their beginnings of their sin. But it's the love of Christ floods in. The love of Christ, it enters their heart first. And it overwhelms them. Then as they consider him in all his beauties, they then go on to feel they're more unworthy, the more sinful they are. But it begins with them in an outpouring of his love. How many times the Lord Jesus met with people in his ministry here below, and his first dealings with them were in love. In love. Oh, this. And it was this dear man here. We don't read a deep conviction of sin. He's not like this woman who was caught in the very act of adultery and brought to the Lord Jesus. And then given that beautiful word, "Neither do I condemn thee, go sin no more." But in curiosity, he's venturing to see him, who he is. Well, I leave those few remarks. I just feel that, I think we've got to be very careful. The Holy Spirit moves amongst the people of God, and we're all different characters. We're all different dispositions. And to track down a pathway and say, you must have this, you must have that. Oh, well, all the Lord's people, this will be it. This is the test. It's to be made sick of self and fond of him. You say, I don't feel my sins enough. I read books, I hear the preaching, and I haven't been brought to the very edge of hell. I haven't been up all night under the weight of conviction, feeling cut off and cast off. Well, I ask you this, what is enough? Enough to be sick of self, fond of him, to flee from any hope in yourself, to be brought to not have any hope in yourself. Your only hope in the precious blood of Christ. Oh, as he made himself precious to you. You say, is it enough what I have? Well, is he the altogether lovely one? Is he precious to you? Can you live without him? Can you do without him? Where's your only hope? If I put you to a point this morning, have you a hope? Where is your hope? Is it in yourself? Is it in what you've done? Or is it in him? What he has done? My only hope, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. It's enough. Surely the prayer for a seeking soul is this. Show me enough of my sin. You know, who can bear to be shown all of it and what it is in the sight of a holy, holy God? Lord, show me enough of myself. Enough of myself. Oh, that I may be found fleeing for help, fleeing for refuge to that hiding place, convinced as a sinner. Whatever degree your poor trembling soul needs, whatever depth you need to be brought to, convinced of a sinner, to Jesus I come. Oh, to come to him as a sinner and taught enough of yourself. Well, this dear man, he wanted to see him. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. They say we don't read any deep conviction. Well, maybe it was curiosity. But, beloved friends, this is a clear testimony of a meeting of heaven and earth, a sinner and a saviour, the Holy Spirit's leading, bringing the two together. Oh, and this wonderful, he ran before, he climbed into a sycamore tree, for he was to pass that way. He went to a length, didn't he? He made some effort. It's testimony to him, testimony to that desire in his heart to see him. This is a rich man, a well-known man, and here he is shimming up a tree. What a spectacle. Oh, well, Jesus came to the place. He looked up and saw him. You know, this is what we desire, isn't it? This personal application of the Word of God. This personal call. Zacchaeus. Knew his name, Zacchaeus. Make haste. Come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Oh, and it had an immediate effect on him. An immediate effect. Oh, he was granted much more than he could ask or think. He set off, didn't he, with a desire to see him. Oh, and when he was discouraged with the great crowd, oh, he was able to run and find that tree and climb up there. Oh, and all he could hope for, surely, was to get a glimpse as the Lord Jesus walked by underneath. Oh, but what a thing. Not only did he stop and look up, but he called his name. Zacchaeus, come down. Make haste and come down. There's urgency. For today I must abide at thy house. What? This Lord Jesus? No, your only hope was a little glimpse. And he says, come down. I must abide at thy house. And he made haste. He made haste. Oh, the effect. This is it, isn't it? The Lord calling his dear children out of nature's darkness. Well, there's haste. The Lord speaks and calls. The Holy Spirit calls his children out of nature's darkness, and there's a hasting. And he came down. He came down and received him joyfully. Oh, is that your desire that this morning? Is that, that I could be like this dear man. I've come up to the house of the Lord. Oh, my desire is to cast a look on him. Oh, to see a glimpse of him through the lattice. To hear him say my name. And I must abide in thy house. Oh, that would be more than my little heart could cope with. More than my expectations. And then to be, by grace, able to receive him. To be able to receive him. You see, we in our denomination, we shrink away from these sort of words, don't we? Receiving him. You know, it's, people think, well, it's a free offering you to receive the Lord. Beloved friends, every child of God must receive him. It's a fact, isn't it? You must receive him, to be partaker of a blessing, to be partaker of that gift of gifts, that you have to be receiving of it. Oh, to be a receiver. Oh, can you trace out in your little life those times where you've come into the house of the Lord and you've received something from him? Maybe you've come in cast down. Maybe you've come in full of woe, wearied with the way, and, oh, you've received something that's lifted your spirit. You've left the house of God different to how you've come. You come in, oh, you say, oh, that I knew that where I might find him. And you've left with a little persuasion in your heart that the word has touched your heart. And you say, oh, I receive something. I receive something from him. There's a crumb of mercy. There's a little hope that I am numbered amongst his children. I've received a little persuasion in my heart. Maybe all the thoughts you've had on the previous Saturday evening, the word has so touched you, you felt the Lord was with you then. When you were thinking on your pathway, oh, he was there with me then because I went up to the house of the Lord, and certainly I will be with thee. And there I was feeling to be on my own and forsaken. Oh, you say, I received something from his hand, a blessing, a touch along the way, and he received him joyfully. Received him joyfully. You know, we are permitted, are we not, to use this word receive. Oh, you need the grace of God. It's the work of the Holy Spirit to make your heart able to receive. You can sit in this chapel and hear the preaching of the word, but you won't receive it in power except by the Holy Spirit. You won't receive a blessing from it except by the Holy Spirit. But John speaks of it. He came, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. That's the world in which we live now, isn't it? And he came unto his own, and his own received him not, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on his name, which are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Oh, you say, I long to receive him, but oh, I don't have those marks. I don't appear outwardly to be a child of God. Surely I can't be numbered amongst him. Oh, may your eyes view Zacchaeus this morning, who in the previous chapter, well, many would have thought he would be cut off, a rich man, a publican. And yet he received. Not only did he receive him joyfully into his house, he was pleased to bring the Lord into his house and to minister unto him. Oh, but you know, when he received the Lord into his house, the glories of the Lord Jesus shone. When a sinner is brought nigh by the blood of Christ, when the Lord, and there's a closing between the Lord Jesus and the sinner, oh, what is shown up as this glorious man comes nigh? When he comes near to your heart, oh, doesn't it show all your imperfections? To stand next to him, you look at yourself then. You see, you look at him, all the beauties in him, all the perfections. And then the eyes are turned inward. That's the work of the Spirit as well, isn't it? For many were near him bodily. The whole crowd were near him that day. And we don't read of them being impressed upon like dear Zacchaeus. But this dear man, you see, the Lord, his glory shone into his heart. And this is the point. You know, you may feel the love of Christ as the strongest thing, the strongest emotion in your life first. But you've had the gentle persuasion, the here a little, there a little teaching of the Holy Spirit, that you're in need of salvation, that you're a sinner. You've been brought up with it in the church, in the congregation. Oh, but when you see the beauty in Christ, when Christ is brought nigh, oh, when he's brought in that close acquaintance, and the love of Christ floods in, well, what does it show up? Oh, my unworthiness, my sinfulness, my wretchedness. How pure and holy art thou? What a base, vile sinner. And there you go on more and more to feel you're more unworthy of his gracious presence, of his gracious help, of his everlasting love. He received him joyfully. But there was that shining a light into Zacchaeus' heart. And that's it, isn't it? You see, there was a conviction there. He had that effect in his heart. Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. The Lord hadn't said anything to him, had he? We're aware of, concerning his life. But you see, there was a pricking of his conscience. This holy man is made acquainted with him, that there's a stirring up of his nest. Things are not right in his life. There's pricks of his conscience. There's the turning out of his tent. It's a confession of sin, is it not? He admits to having, he's falsely accused people. He's taken money from them. He's exploited a few along his way. He's accumulated his wealth from exploiting people. And there's a conviction of it. As the precious Christ draws nigh, the light is shone into his heart. My house is not so with God. My life's not right. I'm nothing what I should be. Look at this dear man. Look at me. Oh, how far, far short I come. I restore him fourfold. Jesus said, this day is salvation come to this house. And not because he's decided to give his money away. It's not by works. It's by grace ye are saved through faith. It's this. He's numbered amongst the children of God. For as much as he also is a son of Abraham. Oh, you who look on. You see this man, his name's in that book of life. You outwardly thought he would have been the furthest off, the far off. You can't believe it. You know, they were disgusted by it. The fact that the Lord Jesus had even entered into this man's house. Oh, it was horrifying for them. Oh, they cast it in his teeth. This dear man, he sitteth and eateth with sinners. He receiveth sinners to himself. Oh, these Pharisees, how they murmur, don't they? They murmur saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Oh, did your little heart lift this morning? Say, ah, this dear man. He goes, he went to be guest with a man that was a sinner. Oh, may it be so this day. It's a venture, is it not? By faith. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. As thou hast been to this man, as thou hast been to thy people, oh Lord. Oh, show thyself the friend of sinners still. Oh, show thyself merciful to me. I feel to be like this man. I feel condemned by thy word, almost cut off by thy word. Oh, yet there's an unseen hand that reaches out from the gospel with a who can tell. Oh, and it's a venture. It's a venture of faith. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh, the great mercy of it, beloved friends, that he seeks and saves his lost sheep. Oh, that he cannot leave them on the mountainside to perish in their sins. But they must be sought out. They must be found out. Though they're wandering far off. Oh, they must be found out. The Holy Spirit will enter in into their poor hearts. Will stir up their affections. Will bring them to see their every need met in the Lord Jesus. Oh, this dear man, he received him joyfully. Oh, that your heart and mine knew that preparation. Have you been made willing? You need to be made willing. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. The hymn says, made willing to be saved by grace. You say, what a thing that is. But it's true. You see, by nature we're the opposite. By nature we will not have this man to reign over us. By nature we're like those in that following parable who despised and rejected him. And said, we will not have this man to reign over us. And that is us by nature. Oh, but Lord, make my heart soft. Make me willing. I think it's our dear friend Gerald Buss, is it, who said
The Christmas hymn says, "Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." And he said, "Ah, but it's this. Make room in my heart for thee." Oh, there may be some of us who feel, "Lord, there is room in my heart for thee." But others, they say, "Ah, Lord, I feel such a busyness in my life. Oh, Satan has me so occupied with so many things. But oh, I do see that day before me. That urgent pressing case. There's eternity. I'm not right. I'm not ready. Come to my heart, Lord Jesus. Make room in my heart for thee. Oh, give me this zeal of Zacchaeus." This is the zeal we want to see in our congregations. Not at the work of your own flesh, but the sure sign of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Is that what drove him up the tree? Oh, that we saw some of this tree climbing in our congregations. The necks on a stretch, the urgency, the desire. You see, friends, it's a solemn point, isn't it? But Zacchaeus, he saw where the Lord was walking, and he put himself in the way. Put himself in the way. And what do I mean by that? Well, surely, this is the house of God. This is the house of prayer. Oh, to be found then in his house. Oh, your desire is to see the Lord Jesus, to be found and in the house of the Lord. You know, to be found in the way, to be found, well, the flock of the Lord Jesus. They're feeding in the house of God on the Lord's day. Oh, then I'll follow in the footsteps of the flock. Though I may have to sit separate from them, surely, maybe a crumb will fall from the master's table. The children are eating, but surely there'll be a few crumbs that fall for me. Then I'll venture up to the house of the Lord with them. Oh, and it is a venture with a who can tell. You see, I'm not worthy to enter in with the children, to eat the children's bread. But you come like that woman. Ah, even the dogs. I come as one of them. Oh, a few crumbs that fall from the table, that will satisfy me. Just something, Lord, something to take home, something to taste, to receive something, not to go home empty-hearted, empty-handed. Oh, but to be found with a few crumbs to take home, to be a receiver, to receive him by faith. To receive him by faith, joyfully. My mind went to hymn 804. "Ye lambs of Christ's fold, ye weaklings in faith, who long to lay hold on life by his death, who fain would believe him, and in your best room would gladly receive him, but fear to presume. Those feeble desires, those wishes so weak, 'tis Jesus inspires and bids thee still seek. His Spirit will cherish the life he first gave. You never shall perish if Jesus can save." Oh, this friend of sinners, you can't perish. Oh, you trembling weaklings who come up to the house of the Lord, feeling unworthy, feeling wretched. Oh, but you desire something. You can't perish. Oh, to press on. Oh, to be found earnest in these things. To be granted that pressing toward the mark. May you be encouraged as hearing of this man Zacchaeus. The Lord blessed the means, didn't he? The Lord blessed the means. He wanted to see the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus he saw. And he climbed that tree,
And those men, the friends of that man sick of the palsy, they weren't deterred by the great crowd in the house. Their friend needed help, needed healing. Only one could do it. And the great crowd was around him. Were they discouraged? Probably. Were they put off? No. They stripped the roof and they lowered him through it, right to the feet of Jesus. And the Lord, he didn't chastise them for it. Bless the means. He blessed the means. And there he received first the pardon of his sin, and then he received the healing of his natural body. Oh, that the Lord would grant us each this diligence to make our calling and our election sure, that we may not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That the Lord would give us this strength. That's that woman who pressed through the crowd. She had suffered many things from the hand of many physicians, hadn't she? She spent all her money and not got any better, but in fact grew worse. And she heard of Jesus. Oh, her heart said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole. If I may." The only doubt, can I reach through? Will I be able to press through with my infirmity, through that great crowd that's round about him? But she ventured. She wasn't put off, was she, by that crowd? Why? Oh, her need was greater. Oh, she said, her heart was like, "If I perish, I perish." But she'll perish trying. She'll perish pressing through. And she struggled through. And she touched the hem of his garment. And she received all that her soul could desire. Oh, there may be that pressing through. The Lord, it's an unseen hand that's needed. It's the power of the grace of God. But oh, may we plead for it. We ask for that good gift, the Holy Spirit, this enabling grace, this enlivening grace to be poured out amongst us, that we may too have Zacchaeus' blessing. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Amen.
Willing, Mr. Sayers will preach on Wednesday evening, and Mr. John Rosier next Lord's Day, and our friends at Fenstanton hope to hold their anniversary services on Saturday. Let us close with hymn number 87, the second part. Oh, the mysterious depths of grace, who shall thy wandering mazes trace? Surpassing human thought to know where this abyss of love shall flow. Hymn number 87, the second part.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.